I have some really good news. Do you want to hear it? It's been news that's been around for a little while. You may have heard it already. It's been news that we've been anticipating for quite a long time in our family. But this news is not that we're going to have another baby. That's not the kind of news. But Kim passed her licensing exam so that she can start moving toward being a counselor. And so we are super excited about that. She has been working really hard, studying all year to try and to remember the things that she learned 10 years ago so that she could take a test that she took 10 years ago and passed 10 years ago to start what kind of stalled for a little while. And so she is moving along, and this is exciting for our family and exciting as we celebrate with her. When we have good news, isn't it fun to share it with other people? Don't you just anticipate the opportunity to find one more person that you can share that good news with? Facebook, as many of you are familiar with, is built on this idea of sharing things. And in particular, people love to share good news on Facebook. I passed the test. I got the job. We're having a baby. All these things are exciting, and you can't wait even seconds sometimes to pull out the phone and say, oh, everybody needs to know this, right? Everyone would want to hear my great news. And the thing is that when we have good news to share, it's not just we who are excited to tell it, but the people we tell it to are usually excited to hear it, at least the first time. We say it over and over and over again, maybe it gets a little old, but they're excited to hear, and they want to hear. And so when they say, do you want to hear the good news that's happening in my life? They say, sure, I'd love to hear some good news. As Christians, we have been given the best news ever. That Jesus Christ, the Lord of all, has come into our world. He died for us and fixed all the problems that separated us from God. Fixed all the problems that separated us from the purpose that we have for living. He's given us a new life, a new start. He's taken away our guilt and shame. And he's given us an opportunity to live in relationship with the God of the universe and have a hope for eternal life. This is great, great news. But the thing is that when we think about this news, it's interesting how it becomes so much harder to share the news about the immediate things that are going on in our lives. We think, well, nobody would want to hear that. Or I don't know what to say. Or that's just not my thing. And we hold that news. We can easily hold that news back in our hearts and live it out in silence. Today we're talking about evangelism. And we are continuing on in our series called Soul Training. And this Soul Training series is looking at habits and practices that we can implement in our lives that help us to grow in godliness, help us to grow in our relationship with the Lord. They are, as I've said in the past, not ways that we earn salvation or earn God's love, but they're ways that we respond and ways that we live with God each and every day. And so we've talked about scripture, we've talked about prayer, we've talked about worship. And another important part of our Christian life, an important way that we grow in godliness, is to develop this practice of evangelism in our lives, sharing the good news of Jesus. So this morning I want to look at evangelism and talk a little bit about what is it and how do we do it well and how can we begin to practice this more? Because I think that if you're like me, of all the parts of my Christian life, I would easily look at evangelism and say, man, I'd love to be a better evangelist. I'd love to be better at sharing my faith with others. There are very few people that would say, I'm doing that to the extent that I want to or should. And so let's get our minds kind of centered around this evangelism idea and take a look at what God says about it. The first thing that we see in the Bible is that evangelism is proclamation. Proclamation. We read in Romans 10:14, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? So Paul said, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how will they call on them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Paul later goes on in verse 17, so faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. Hearing the good news. When you have some good news to tell, or good news that has happened in your life, our immediate response, like I said before, is to tell. Right? Because that's what the overflow of our joy causes us to do. It causes us to go out and tell others. The thing is that when we as Christians think about evangelism, again, for me, it's easy to look at other ways that we can live the Christian life and kind of say, well, that counts, doesn't it? Well, if I'm living a Christian life in front of other people, if I'm being a witness through the way that I serve people, the way that I love people, that's evangelism, right? As long as I'm doing it in front of people who don't know the Lord. Well, those things help lead into conversations that would potentially be evangelism. They would help prepare the soil, if you would, to have a fertile conversation about God, but they in themselves are not evangelism. Living as a Christian in the world is important. But what we talk about when we talk about evangelism is actually proclaiming the truth of the gospel. Of the gospel. Not just proclaiming that I believe in God. Not just proclaiming that I'm a Christian or that I go to church. But proclaiming the gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done, that he came, that he died, that he saved us, that he gives us new life because he has risen from the dead. When we proclaim this message, it gives an opportunity for people to respond, to believe. And this is what Paul says is necessary for people to be saved. But again, sometimes we feel uncertain. What should I say? How can I do that? Fears aside, we have to get in our minds first and foremost that in order to effectively evangelize, it requires an audible telling others about Jesus. If we don't get past this, we'll never be able to make it further in this habit that we want to cultivate. The second thing, though, is a reminder that evangelism is expected, that evangelism is something that we are supposed to do. Again, oftentimes we can think about evangelism as something that is for certain people. That if I'm gifted as an evangelist, I can then be good at sharing my faith. But there are certain people who are gifted and others who are not. And if I feel like I'm not one of the gifted, then it's not my responsibility. Have you ever felt that way? I think the majority of Christians would say, I don't think I'm gifted in evangelism. But the thing is that evangelism isn't dependent on our gifting, but it's dependent on our obedience to God. Sharing our faith is an act of obedience. That's where in Romans 10:15, Jesus says, "And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent?" This is why the scriptures say, "How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news." How will they go unless they are sent? If we look to what Jesus says in John 20:21, he says this. Again, he said, "Peace be with you." This speaking to his disciples, his followers. "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Those of you who have followed me, those of you who have committed your life to me, Jesus says, are now carrying on what I have begun. How will anyone tell them without being sent? Well, Jesus took care of that. He sent us into the world. We hear the Great Commission in our heads, "Go and make disciples of all nations." So Jesus commanded his disciples, you and I, to be about the business of telling others about what he had done, telling others about this coming kingdom that he is establishing and making real in our world, telling others about what he has done in our lives and the transformation that has taken place when we have become followers of Jesus. Not only is this command, but it's the purpose of why we exist, or at least one of the purposes for why we exist as the church. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, "You are a royal priests, a chosen people, royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession." The New Living Translation says, "As a result, you can show others the goodness of God." But other translations will say, "So that." You are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, so that you can declare the goodness of God. This is part of the reason why we gather together in the church. Why we call ourselves the body of Christ. Again, to continue that work that he has begun. If we are missing this, and it is a missing of one of our core purposes as his followers. But that's not all. It also, as we think about evangelism being expected, it's something that should be expected because of the joy that we feel in our hearts because of what God has done. Think about any good news that you want to share. Why do you want to share it? Because it makes you excited. If you are at school and you got an A on an exam and you come home and you're like, "I got an A." You say, "Can we put it on the fridge? Because I want everyone who walks by to see it." Or if you're having a new baby or your baby's born, you say, "I just can't wait. We're so excited. I just feel like I'm going to explode if I don't tell somebody." That joy that wells up inside of us. It almost creates this reaction that will just burst forth if we don't proclaim it. This is at the heart of what evangelism is, and even though it's expected as a command and as obedience, there's this place where it's just expected that if God is at work in your life, if God is changing you, if you believe all this is real, shouldn't it come out? Isn't it exciting enough to tell? Sometimes I think as we are Christians for a long period of time, it's easy to start to take things for granted. We can minimize who we were before. Maybe more so as if we grew up in the church, it's easy to feel like, well, I don't see a massive transformation in my life from when I wasn't a Christian to when I was a Christian, because I kind of began to know God in an early life or early stage and started to grow in that knowledge. And so I just don't know if I really have a story to tell. But the reality is if God is at work in you, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, you have a story to tell. you are being changed. You may not be aware of it. You may not be paying attention to it. But if you look, you will begin to see. And it's out of that that we start to sense this overwhelming presence of God, this overwhelming sense of His work. And we want that for others. We want that for others, and so we tell. Still, it's hard when we feel afraid of what the outcome might be. We're afraid of what telling could look like. And even though it's expected that obedience, even though it should come out of our joy, it feels like a mandate, kind of something that we have to do but don't want to. And that's when we need to remember that evangelism is empowered. And evangelism is empowered by God. It can be scary going out to share your faith with your friends, with your neighbors, with your coworkers, with your family. We don't know what the reaction will be. Maybe we have said things in the past to test the waters and the reactions have been negative. Maybe we've tried to share our faith with others and it just hasn't led to a changed life. And so we feel like, well, maybe I must be doing something wrong. And I'm afraid that if I try it again, I'll fail. But the Bible tells us that when we share our faith, it's not our responsibility to change people's hearts. It's not our responsibility to make it all perfect and right and have it all worked out ahead of time. It's not our responsibility to save. That's the work of God. And so evangelism becomes this place where we are growing in our faith because it's a place that we are working in partnership with the Holy Spirit. We're working with Him. He uses us to proclaim, to tell the good news. And then at the same time, He is the one that works on the heart. Works on the hearer, the one that's taking in this message. And He can take that moment of sharing faith and begin to use it in the life of another person. Maybe not in that moment. Maybe there will be nothing that happens. But maybe in a month or a year, as that conversation continues to percolate in their heart and in their mind, as other conversations, the Holy Spirit brings others along to share faith with them, that transformation starts to take place. And together, through many conversations, a heart is turned. Maybe you will have an opportunity, or maybe you've had opportunities where you've come to someone who has been in that process for a long time, and then you come and share your faith, and they do accept Jesus. They do turn their heart to Jesus and repent of their sins and follow Him. But regardless, the Holy Spirit is working. And so when we share our faith, we have to realize that we're doing it with Him. We're not alone. We're not completely thrown out there, thrown to the wolves. But we are given the strength we need, the words we need, the power we need to boldly proclaim. You know, when the disciples, the ones who walked with Jesus, were given this assignment to go and make disciples, other disciples, when they were told to be Jesus' witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus didn't say, "You have all you need, now go." Jesus said, "Wait. Wait for the Spirit. Because all of your words, all of the stuff you do, it'll mean nothing if the Spirit isn't working with you, if you aren't partnering with Him." And so that's why we see in Acts 1:8, He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere." if we aren't growing in our relationship with God, if we aren't close to the Lord, we're going to find sharing our faith to be a burden. Sharing our faith to be very difficult. Sharing our faith to be fairly fruitless. And we'll come away discouraged. But as we are close to God, as we are growing in faith, as we are in prayer and worshiping Him, and as we're studying His Word daily, we begin to foster this relationship, to build this relationship with God that allows us then to go and do His work. And so it's a dependence on the Holy Spirit that is necessary to be evangelists. Finally, as we think about proclaiming the message of Jesus, the message of what He has done for all of us and what He has done in our own hearts, as we think about being obedient in our interactions and we think about following the Spirit, as we think about making evangelism more a part of our lives, the bottom line is that we have to be intentional. We have to be intentional about sharing our faith. It's just something that while it may happen from time to time haphazardly, we need to be on the lookout for the ways that God is going to use us, for the conversations that we have potentially available to us that day. It may mean putting ourselves in situations where we are around people who don't know the Lord. I would say the number one thing for me in not sharing my faith is that, especially as a pastor, most of the people I'm around every day are Christians. They already know. And it's really hard to find places where I can meet new people who aren't involved in a church somewhere. And so in order to do that, I have to be intentional. And oftentimes it's easy to say, well, I have other things that I need to do, other things that are important. But that is the whole point of making this a discipline in our lives, making this a habit in our lives. It means saying, no, this is important. And so how can I be looking for opportunities to make relationships, to put myself into situations where I can know people and encounter people so that I can eventually share with them Jesus? How can I live my life in such a way around people so that they'll ask, why are you like that? Why are you so different? Then how will I be thinking about my faith in a way that I immediately say, it's Jesus? I've been asked that before when I was younger. Why are you so happy all the time? Why do you just seem like you're always smiling? And it was a great opportunity for me to say, because I have faith in Jesus and I have confidence in Him. But because I wasn't ready, because I wasn't thinking about how to share my faith, I said, I don't know. That's just who I am. Missed opportunity. But one that if we're intentional, we can take advantage of and let the Spirit use in our lives. And so 1 Peter 3:15 says, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Always be ready to explain it. So intention means looking for relationships that you can have with non-believers. It means knowing your faith. Someone said, why do you believe in Jesus? What would you tell them? Would you know? Would you say, well, that's how I was raised, so I just kind of kept doing that? Well, that's not a good answer. You need to know at least basics of why you believe what you believe, how you've seen Jesus working in your life. In your bulletin, you will find two things. One, and I didn't grab one because I was running around this morning. I'll take one from Heike. Two things. First is this. This is a card that is to help you think about how you can engage with people around you. Because, you know, evangelism isn't just something for missionaries. And actually, it's nice because we're putting this in the middle of two missionary visits. And so we're excited about the work that people are doing overseas. But we have our own mission field here in Little Falls. You have your own mission field in your own neighborhood. The people that you see every day, potentially, are people that you could share your faith with. So this is a help with that. It uses bless, begin in prayer, learn their names, engage in conversation, seek to be intentional, share your stories. This is to help you get to know your neighbors. Because oftentimes in the world that we live in, it's easy to go and not know who your neighbors really are. To come in the garage, shut the garage, and never have a good conversation. Or it's just so surface level conversation that you don't really know all that much about them. And so on the other side, you can see here, there's a little example of how they use the house to fill in a little information. Names, what they do, how many kids, what they like. You can use the little house on the other side if you write small enough to write the names of the people around you and who they are. And begin to engage with them more as an opportunity to share your faith. The other is knowing gospel threads. And so on one side you see a picture. It can be folded in half if you want. But just gives you a little picture of the gospel story. But then on this side, the knowing the gospel threads, it tells you the basics of the gospel. God is holy, just and gracious creator of all things. We each are each created by God, but we are all corrupted by sin. Jesus alone is able to remove our sin and restore us to God. We can be restored to God only through faith in Jesus. Our eternal destiny hinges on our response to Jesus. If you're wondering what to share with someone, I wouldn't necessarily say pull this out. You could, but familiarize yourself with it. Read the verses. Start to think, what is the gospel? How would I share this with someone? And be ready when someone asks you why you have your faith. You could also pull this out if someone was really interested and talk with them through it. I would also encourage you, there are some of you who are new in faith, some of you who are growing in your faith. There are some of you who have been going to church and have been Christians for a long time, but I want to encourage all of you to go through this and say, what does that actually mean to me, that God is holy, just, and the creator of all things? How does that affect how I see God, how I live my life? How do any of these things affect me first, so that then I can go and share with others how it could affect them? So these are two tools that you could use to be intentional in your community right now, so that you can begin to share your faith, begin to share more and more of yourselves and your lives with those around you. And as you do, we know that God will be working and that he will begin to bring people into a place where they can hear the good news of what he's done. So if you have been good at evangelizing, if you've been good at doing all this, I just want to continue to encourage you to keep it up, keep up the good work. But if not, I just want to encourage you to use these tools to become more and more of a witness to those around you. And so would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you so much that you love us, that you care for us, that we are yours, and that, well, we just pray that you would use us to share our faith. First, Lord, we just pray that you would make it real for us, that we would actually have that excitement, that joy that really believes that what we know is good news, that you are good news. And Lord, then we just pray that as we really believe that in our heart, that you just give us opportunities to share, to say to people, you wouldn't believe the good news that I've been thinking about this week. Jesus has saved me. It's as simple as that. Simple as that to start a conversation that you can use to transform lives. And so, Lord, we just pray that we would not be satisfied with a faith that is only about ourselves, but that it would be one that looks outward to the world and seeks to share with others what you've done. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.